Good morning. This is HM correspondent Erica Diggs, and I am speaking with Perry Jungulis of the Damien Center. He is the executive director. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you? Sorry for jumping on the good morning too quick.
No problem. I love the energy. It's Monday, fun day, right? All right. So let's just get started. Tell me, who started this foundation?
Sure. So the Albany Damien Center was started back in 1988. It was actually an initiative of the Episcopal Church. They were looking for a way to respond to the AIDS crisis back in 1988. And so they got together with some other state officials and they incorporated in 1991. So the Albany Damien Center is not a religious organization, but it certainly had a lot of religious friends to get it started, and really was the first drop-in center of its kind in the nation that specifically was for persons who were struggling and dying of HIV and AIDS to come together to offer non-medical social support. A living room, it was two rooms in a church, and that was the beginning. In 1988, there really were no drugs that were working, and there was a tremendous amount of stigma and discrimination. And so even the location of the Albany Damien Center was almost a secret. When you came up to the front door, someone would come down, they'd ask you some questions, and if you had the right answers, they would let you in. If you didn't, you weren't let in, because the discrimination, stigma, and fear was just so high back then that they really wanted to keep it safe. So when you did walk upstairs, though, there was two rooms that were full of so much love, laughter, yes, some tears, but really a way for people to connect and try and share in what it was like to be dying of this disease.
Wow. Okay, so tell us, what programs do you offer at the Damien Center?
Sure. So what happened over time was medications came out. And so all of us who were supposed to die actually started to live. In fact, I was diagnosed with AIDS back in 1995, and I was told I had 3 months to live. So I went to the Damien Center trying to figure out, you know, what am I supposed to do? And I had no reason to doubt anybody that I was going to die in 3 months. I was watching everyone die around me. But that was when just about when the new drugs were starting to come out. And so all of a sudden, you know, we were living. We weren't dying as fast. Now, we weren't living very well. The side effects from the medications were positively awful. But the tone of the Damien Center changed from helping people with the dying process to helping people with the living process. So how do we live now with this disease, knowing that there's, you know, a ton of discrimination, a lot of stigma still out there, and a lot of us could not work, you know, so how do you live, you know, with that? So a lot of the Damien Center programs were based on helping people to live. So currently we have we still have our drop-in living room center, which is open for people to come in to get support from one another. We also have a meal program, which serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and also provides pantry bags, because we recognize that nutrition is just such a huge part of staying healthy with HIV, and too many people don't have access to real healthy, nutritious meals, fruits and vegetables, and also recipes of how to make certain foods. We also have a PAWS program. Our PAWS program was designed to help people keep their pets when they were ill or when they were going into the hospital. So our PAWS program provides supplemental vet care, food, but also in-home care when a person is ill, because we were watching too many people who were having to give up their beloved pets, often when they needed each other the most. We also have a housing program. So we have 20 units on site. We also have about 20 units that are off site. So we provide housing for persons who were formerly homeless living with AIDS, recognizing again that housing is healthcare. You need to have a home in order to access medications or any type of support. We have an employment pathways program, which is helping people to get back to work, because now we have some really great medications which are helping people. And so once on the medications and people are able to get their viral load undetectable, a lot of people are going back to work. So our program helps people who may have been out of work for the past 5, 10, 20, sometimes 30 years to be able to get back to work, which is just a really incredible process to watch. At the end of the day, the Damien Center is about family. We become a family for everyone. And so when persons are still suffering with trauma, with severe poverty, with mental health issues, with substance use disorder, racism, they will come to us to help them to figure out how to move on with HIV on top of all of those issues. And it's very hard for someone who's experiencing any of those issues to be able to get access to the medications and the treatment that they really deserve. And so we work to help break down the barriers for each person to make sure they know they're loved and that they deserve to have the care that they need, and to make sure that they always have someone that they can rely on.
That's beautiful. Now, I understand that you originally came to the Damien Center because of your diagnosis. Now, how did you initially get involved? So, because at first you went for help. So, you know, tell us, how did you say, let me do wonderful work, you know, and help others?
It was quite accidental. You know, I was asked, but yeah, I started going to the Damien Center because I really needed help. I was very sick and also very scared, like everyone else was. And I just found this really beautiful center that, you know, one of the real cores was no judgment, you know, no judgment with whatever you were doing, whatever you did. And I just loved that. It was really put everybody on an equal playing field, you know, and if you would, you know, as far as understanding and really loving each other. So I really fell in love with the place. And so someone asked me to join the board. Board of directors, which I thought, okay, well, I never served on a board before. What could this be like? Well, the first board meeting, everybody had to chip in $50 to pay the phone bill because the phone was about to get turned off. And I remember sitting there going, I'm so getting off this board. This is not what I bargained for. I don't have any money, you know. So, you know, it was, you know, it was recognizing though that times were tough, you know, and money was tough. And so, you know, I continued on the board, you know, and one of the things that we were looking at was finding new space. So we were at Grace and Holy Innocence, which was on the corner of Clinton and Robin. And really the space was, the neighborhood was getting more dangerous. People were a little more nervous to come. And also we just needed bigger space. So they asked me to find space. I had a real estate background. And so I was able to find space, wrote a grant, and that's when we moved to 12 South Lake Avenue, right down the street. And at the time, as a part of the grant, I had to agree to stay on with the project for a year. That was 22 years ago. And so I became executive director. I was one of two staff. And we moved into 12 South Lake, where we were for 15 years before our building burned down. And really had some magical years there of watching people live with the disease, but also being there for people who were dying of the disease. And I do believe that, you know, as a person who is living with AIDS, also running the agency, I did bring a perspective of what it was like to be scared and to be sick. And so when people came in and would say, I get what you're going through, they heard it. They saw me go through my illnesses. We sort of shared a lot of the over that time. I am so thankful and grateful that I'm still here today, all these years later. I'm 55 years old. I was 29 when I was diagnosed, and I credit it to some luck. You know, not everybody was as lucky, but also having support, having access to the medications that really kept me alive through this time. And I'm very proud to say I have an undetectable viral load, which means my virus is so low that science right now can't pick it up. I still have it, but it's so low that it's not causing me any health concerns. Also, science is saying now that because I have an undetectable viral load, I cannot pass the virus to anybody else. And that's new science that came out in the past couple of years. It's called undetectable equals untransmittable. And just incredible. We can have somebody get their virus down to an extremely low level. They can't pass it on. So we have people having children now. We have people who are not fearing going out and telling people their HIV status as much, because that weight is taken off of you. I'm not infectious anymore. I'm not, you know, able to pass it on. Again, not the case for everybody. And that's where we come in. That's where the Damien Center comes in. We work to try and get people to the undetectable market.
That's beautiful.
So please check us out, you know, either on our website or on our Facebook page, and find out what's going on at the Damien Center and how you can get involved.
Okay, folks. Well, you just heard from Perry Jungelis, the executive director of the Damien Center, and they are out here changing lives. Be sure to go check them out, albanydamiencenter.org. Thank you so much, Mr. Jungelis.
Thank you so much, Erica, for having me. This was a lot of fun.
It was. We'll be back.